RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Ugh. You said you were over him, but his hoodie is still in your rotation. It's time. Grab your phone, snap a few pics, and sell it on Depop. Listed in minutes, with no selling fees. And just like that, a guy 500 miles away just paid full price for your closure. And right on cue.
Hey, still got my hoodie?
Nope. But I've got tonight's dinner paid for. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. List now with no selling fees. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Hunting Gear Podcast. I am your host, Dan Johnson. And today from Vortex Optics, we have Mr. Mark Boardman. Mark Boardman, two things. You are the man, first off.
Dan.
You're the man, dude.
You're inflating. You're inflating
again. That's what I do. That's what I do. My goal with life is every time I have an interaction with a person from now on, I want to make them feel good about themselves when they walk away. Like after this podcast, you're going to be like, God, I feel good about myself.
Never felt better. Well, Dan, I want to make you feel good. We were having some technical difficulties before the podcast, and you're like, oh, maybe I'm just bad luck. And I said, Dan, no, quite the opposite. Maybe this is our sign that we need to do these podcasts in person here at Vortex.
Yep.
Because two times in a row when we've done that, we've hit the old High Point Steakhouse afterward for a lovely dinner.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't think I've been back since you were here. So,
okay. So that's a hint that I need to start just showing up.
You need to start showing up. And that is, yeah, that's just good luck.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, if the good thing about when we meet is that Vortex picks up the tab. And dude, I'll make that drive anytime Vortex wants to pick up the High Point, man. I'm down with that.
Let's get it on the books.
Exactly. We have this big, like a couple big things have happened in your life, like this trip to the UK, right? You took a trip, right? Trip to the UK. You did something pretty sweet. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about that on another episode down the line.
All right. Okay? All right.
Because it sounds like it was a pretty badass moment in your life. I want to harness that in completion on the Nine Finger Chronicles. But have you been out in the woods in Wisconsin this year yet?
So I haven't. Like you said, I'm just coming off of an absolutely incredible trip to the Scottish Highlands. One of those trips that, like, I can't even picture a way that it could have gone better. Like, it truly was just a trip of a lifetime in so many different ways, in every single way. Previously to that, I hunted elk in Montana, archery elk, with the some great people, with the result being what happens when I generally hunt archery elk, which is I don't come home with one. Had a really awesome spring bear hunt. And had some really cool turkey hunting in the spring too, but I have yet to find myself in a tree stand or otherwise to chase these pesky white-tailed deer that we have here at home. But I am itching too. This weekend might be the weekend.
Okay, same. I have things going on every single day of the week this week, but Sunday of this week, this weekend marks the last football game of the season for me as a coach. So then starting, I have a week where there's nothing going on, and then we start wrestling the following week. And so I'm a coach there as well. But then of course I'm not the head coach. So I get to like come and go a little bit. There's some flexibility there. And then I don't have to really take it serious until I tag out in Iowa. So what I'm getting at is my schedule is opening up here very soon, and I'm going to try to, I was telling a guy this morning, dude, I am throwing arrows this year. I'm filling freezers, man. I'm letting them go. I'm just letting them go this year.
It's funny that you say that, and I'm not the king of bow hunting whitetails by any stretch of the imagination, but I've been talking around. We'll see if I actually do what I say I might do.
Mm-hmm.
Did I leave enough room there?
Yeah.
I'm debating just taking a no mercy approach. If I get an opportunity at, an early opportunity to doe or something like that, I don't care if it's Sunday night and I'm working the next day, like I'm flinging an arrow. And I think I might be able to stick to it so often. For me, at least, I'm waiting for not a big buck, but maybe a little bit bigger buck. And you let the does, oh, maybe there's a buck behind her. Maybe there's a buck behind her. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure I'm doling out free passes anymore.
Yeah. 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 I had a scenario this year, and I think I talked about it on other podcasts, but where this summer, a neighbor boy came in, or could have been my own kids. I don't know, handing them out, but someone got into my deep freeze. It's a vertical one. And they grabbed a popsicle out of it. Well, the popsicle box blocked the door from shutting, thus resulting in all of my wild game, bratwurst, backstraps, ground, roasts, fish that we caught, the walleye, all that stuff, defrosting. And I had a heart attack of emotions. I don't know what that means, but I had a heart attack of emotions. And I have then since had an empty freezer.
Dan, number one, tragic. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yep.
Also, unbelievably coincidental, this was several years ago, And maybe this is a lesson to not keep popsicles in your wild game freezer.
That's the
because little hands at my house searching for popsicles left my vertical freezer open and I lost the whole freezer. I mean, probably hundreds. I was through a lot of it, but I lost a good part of a moose. I lost a good part of a bear. I lost a couple. Like, I was just throwing meat away and like my hands were shaking. Like, I couldn't even, like, it was just like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Yeah. But it was all spoiled.
Yeah. So some of the stuff was still cool in the back or cold in the back. I didn't want to refreeze it. So what I did was I just took it around the neighborhood and I was just like, hey, listen, eat this by the end of this week. Cause I didn't want to, I wasn't going to be able to eat 50 pounds of bratwurst. Right. I did have to throw away the stuff that was in the door of the vertical.
You're afraid to take on a challenge?
Yeah. Well, I maybe 10 years ago, I would have had it in me, but not anymore. And then we, that same day, I called all the neighbors. I go, we're having a fish fry tonight. And then I went to the store. I bought flour and oil and we just threw a makeshift fish fry together. But outside of that, I was just like, I was pretty pissed, man. And I don't get angry, but I held it in fairly well for someone who put a lot of time into gathering that meat. So.
I mean, it makes you sick. It was not intentional. You know, it's just one of those. It was an accident.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Before we get into the rest of this podcast, I do have to send a huge shout out to the partners of the Hunting Gear podcast. First and foremost, we have Muddy DV8, their new clothing series. They have a lineup called the Ambush series, which is in... It's Muddy DV8 clothing in the Ambush series. It is designed for whitetail hunters, and they have a complete layering system. They got cool weather, they got hot weather, they got layers, they got pants, they got base layers, they got everything you need to stay comfortable in the Midwest and even Southern whitetail season. Go check out GoMuddy.com and then click on their footwear and apparel link, and it's going to show you everything that you need to know. Next on the list is Reveal trail cameras. Every single day now, Mark, my Reveal trail cameras are getting more and more and more pictures. I got my Mox Grapes opening up. Lots of deer visiting the Mox Grapes in the past 10 to 15 days, and I am excited for the moment where a giant just has out of nowhere shows up and I get the ping on my phone or I wake up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And instead of going back to bed, I sit there and start to look through my cell cam photos. I know you do that. And outside of that, man, very easy to use camera. Go to tacticam.com/cameras and check out the new Ultra from Reveal. All right. That's the commercials.
I mean, they're really so, and I haven't done nearly, not even close to as much trail cam stuff as a lot of whitetail hunters. But the first time that I did use cell cams, that's quite possibly one of the most addictive things out there.
It is.
I was like, oh, I didn't know I could feel like this.
Yeah. Yeah. You're getting instant gratification immediately. All right. Today's conversation, I wanted to have this conversation with you as ever since you guys sent me the new, what is it? The
Ranger HD 3000.
Yeah. The Ranger HD 3000 range finding binoculars. Okay. Cause I had it in my head how I was going to use them before I even used them. I took them out on some deer drives this summer where I was looking out the window, ranging objects, like ranging stuff through my yard. I'm ranging 20. I'm ranging 30. I'm getting my bow set up, that kind of stuff. And I had this idea that it was going to result in me having to no longer need a rangefinder on my bino harness when I went out to South Dakota for my spot and stalk. Well, that couldn't have been further from the truth. I used it in a completely different way. And so the first question that I kind of want to ask you about rangefinding binoculars is, who's buying range finding binoculars?
I mean, I'd say, you know, a lot of folks, depending on your hunt style, the weapon that you might be using, where you're hunting, things like that, right? My first really many years at Vortex, we did not have a range finding binocular in our lineup. And I can tell you, one of the most common questions we would get, when are you guys coming out with a range finding binocular? And then again, and again, and again. And then we finally did, came out with the Fury HD 5000. You know, I look at that and I say, well, that's like that upper mid tier, right? And then, you know, for some folks, that's a little bit of a chunk of change, right? And it is. So it's like, well, when are you going to come out with a really good range finding binocular that is a little bit less, you know, less monies? So enter, you know, enter what we're talking about here, the Ranger HD 3000. To me, okay, I can tell you how I would use it, but I also know guys that bow hunt, that rifle hunt, they have one rangefinder binocular. They don't carry a hand, what I call a handheld rangefinder, and that's what they use. To me, where a rangefinding binocular really shines is for the rifle hunter. When I was in Scotland last week, I mean, lots of use of rangefinding binoculars. If you're an outfitter or a guide, I think a rangefinding binocular is really a strong, strong way to go. You've got clients, right? You can call out ranges, but then you can also spot a hit, a miss, maybe a perfect hit or maybe not a perfect hit, and you're going to be able to know what your next steps are. Now, you can keep ranging the animal. Maybe it disappears into the timber after being shot. Well, guess what? You never had to transition between pieces of kit to get that information. Extremely valuable information, right? But for me, for bow hunting, I still actually prefer a handheld. Like I said, I know a lot of bow hunters that are like, yeah, dude, I use rangefinder binocular. That's what I use. I like the how subtle it is to get a range. It's lighter weight. You know, oftentimes you have your bow in this hand. It's a little bit easier to keep steady with one hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if you got your bow in your left hand, you're not stabilizing your binocular with two hands, right? So binocular's a little bit heavier. And then I often end up using my handheld rangefinder even as a monocular. So even though I have a set of binos, you know, I can have my bow in my hand and I'd be like, yeah, I want to look at that. And then, you know, I oftentimes use our Razor HD 4000 rangefinder, has excellent optics in it. So it really serves two purposes there for me as actually an observation, but also has the ranging capability. I mean, you can't deny the two-in-one functionality, streamlining your kit, the attributes of the positive attributes of a rangefinding binocular, because there certainly are many.
Yes. All right. And so with that comes a little bit of an additional weight. I didn't notice that at all. I didn't notice the additional weight when I was humping the hills in South Dakota looking for mule deer. I did, however, try the bow in one hand and binocular in the other, trying to get that. And it seemed like when I was pushing down to try to get the range, it just was a little clunky in my hands. Therefore, I decided to take the handheld rangefinder with me, and it served its purpose. And so here's where I feel like, instead of having both a binocular and a rangefinder, I feel like the whitetail guy would be the biggest benefit of this, or using it this way. And this is just me daydreaming because I haven't used it yet this year. But I'm assuming that I'm in the timber or I'm somewhere and I'm ranging objects, like I'm ranging a tree. Here comes a deer. I'm going to then range the tree next to it, or I'm preparing for it. That way, when the deer does come by, he's in front or behind of a tree. I know that yardage, draw back, settle the pin, and good to go, right? Same thing if it's at a longer distance with a rifle. You're ranging objects, and then instead of having to continuously range with that handheld rangefinder, that you've already got the established ranges because you know, oh, that tree or that cedar tree is 100 yards. That's what I need to know, okay? With that said, I noticed that when I was in South Dakota, how I used the binocular, the rangefinding binocular more, was judging distances between deer and stalkable terrain. So I would range the deer at, I don't know, 200 yards. And then I would range the terrain feature that I wanted to creep in behind at, you know, 250 or 150 or whatever the case is. Then you do some simple math in your head, you split the difference, and there I need to get this far from, if I make it to this terrain feature and I get there undetected, then I know I'm within this, you know, this distance. Then when I get to that distance, I pocket the range or the binos and I pick up the handheld. When the arrow is on the rest and I'm ready to make the final creep in. So those were that's how I used it, or even like some triangulars, you know, like on that, that's more on like an inline. Or if for me, like I know that if I'm ranging a deer to the right of me and I'm ranging where I think he's going to be going at a different, then that creates another math problem that I can do in my head that allows me, okay, he's about 120 yards away from where I need to be. I need to hustle, or maybe I have time to get to these specific terrain features. And that is how I used the binos out west in bigger, wide open environments with no trees.
I mean, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, and you can do those things with both units, right? But yeah, there's no question that having the ability to range can assist in your stock planning and just, you know.
But what I'm getting at is from the bino standpoint, having the magnification with two eyes, being able to identify targets at 600, 700 yards, and then trying to do that same thing with handheld single eye relief or no single eye rangefinder it's way more difficult.
You'll gain some precision there for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Now, when it comes to the battery life of the Ranger HD binos, what's the battery life on some of that? I mean, are we talking multiple seasons, or is this something that's going to need to be changed every season?
You know, Dan, that is a stat that I don't know if I have with me. I even brought my printouts in case you stumped me, which you did.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing, I don't know the battery life on. I mean, yeah, you're going to get a season out of it. Like, it can be just good practice to put a fresh bat in every year. I think a lot of folks do that. I'll do that. But it's going to depend on a variety of factors. They're very efficient systems, I can tell you that.
Yeah. I'll say this. I can't remember what rangefinder I have from you guys. It might be the 3000, the handheld rangefinder, the Ranger HD 3000.
Yeah, that's an oldie but a goodie. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have that one. And since I've had it, I have only been able, I've only had to change the battery in it one time. And we're talking, what's that, 4 or 5 years now?
Right.
Yeah. So it's not like you're out there ranging objects every single day with it. I mean, it sits in your bag for, you know, 5 months out of the year until 6 months out of the year. And I'm guessing that the range is like that. Now, the question that I have for you guys is, why is the electronic portion of this, the visible portion of this, only in one tube of the binocular and not in both? Like, if I close my eyes, it goes away in one, but if I open the other one, then it's there. Do you know why you guys do that?
It's just the way the optical design and the way the reticle is going to be displayed, yeah, right? You've got a right eye reticle focus, mm-hmm, and then you have a left eye diopter. And then, yeah, that reticle is just going to display for your right eye, though.
Okay. What's the diopter mean?
No, that's what you're going to adjust to get your optimal focus for your eyes.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So what are some other conversational pieces that we should have to know whether or not we should pick up a regular rangefinder versus a rangefinding binocular?
You know, I mean, possibly the landscape that you're in, right? You know, you're talking about open western landscapes. I think a rangefinding binocular is going to shine there. If a person is really wanting to streamline their kit, that's a great way to do it. You get this with a lot of our handheld rangefinders and these, but you know, some people are like 3,000 yards. What the heck do I need to range at 3,000 yards? And that's where that stock planning comes into play, right? Like, how far away is that hill? Do we have time to get there? How far away is that rock from the deer that's on that hill? Well, you know, all the things that you said. I mean, really, it does come down to personal preference too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and how far are you ranging things? You know, you are going to get a level of precision with the added magnification of a range finding binocular. But also, maybe that's a detractor when your max shot's going to be 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, right? Maybe you'll be better served backing off that magnification with like a 7X or something like that that you'd get in a handheld rangefinder.
Yeah. The other thing that I would be concerned about, and this is something that anybody, you know, a lot of guys will have their binos out. You know, deer's coming in, they identify it first and they may not tuck it back into their bino pack and then they'll let it hang out. So I'm just one of those guys who's trying to be as real as possible where the binos are out. They create an additional, basically, distance away from your chest that creates less of the free space. And I'm thinking about bow hunting at this point. You draw back, there's a chance that something gets caught on the string, right? Where the handheld device would allow you way less profile, and you can tuck it in, or you can even just drop it straight from your bino harness and work that way. Whereas, I mean, that would be one downfall. But on the opposite side of that is, I think, and I'm talking like Midwestern, Southern, thicker type stuff, where that comes into play is just finding distances. And obviously that sounds stupid, where it's like, duh, we're talking about range finders, but how far certain things are, like, dude, there's a deer up there. How far is he away from the property line? I've done my scouting. I know that there's a terrain feature here, and I've seen him come through that multiple times in previous days. I need to get a tree stand up there. So it helps from, like, I would say, a strategic standpoint as well, where it's going to allow you to I don't know, like we said, stock planning, but just overall hunt planning as well.
Well, yeah, and it's another data point. You can look at that, range it, maybe go back to your digital mapping software, draw a line, and kind of cross-reference those two things and be like, oh, yeah, you know, my rangefinder said it was, you know, 300 yards, and, you know, I drew this line to where I, you know, my best estimate, and it's saying 312, so we're, mm-hmm. we're about 300 yards away.
Right, right. Now, does this only come in 10 by 42, or are there other range-finding binocular options that you guys have for bigger magnification?
Nope, 10 by 42. Yep, just okay. The 10 by 42.
All right. But are there other range-finding binoculars that Vortex Optics as a whole offers, or is it just this right now?
Right now, both this and the Fury are 10 by 42s. Yep.
Okay. All right. Is there any plans in the future to go bigger with that?
I think that, you know, of course, you never know fully what the product development team is up to, but yeah, they're always exploring different options, and there's certainly times where I could see a need for a range finding binocular that does have more magnification. Like we're talking about those open Western landscapes, you know, places like Arizona where, you know, to me, a 12 by 50 is like the best all around out there. That would be the bino that I would carry on my chest. And if you can couple a range finder with it, you know, that could be the ticket.
Yeah. Does this range, do the binos have the angle compensation as well as same as the handheld rangefinder?
Yeah. So you're going to have our HCD mode. So it's going to come in out of the box. It'll be in HCD, which stands for horizontal component distance. So okay. that's our angle compensation mode. It's going to be, you know, a mode that just is optimal for like what we call normal mode. It's going to come in normal mode.
Yards and yeah.
It's going to be the most versatile, I guess.
User-friendly.
Right? Yeah.
User-friendly. Yeah,
and we'll then, see. But you can put it, if you wanted to, you could put it in line of sight mode if you needed a line of sight distance. Now that can be handy in certain situations. Maybe you've got a long distance, high angle shot, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. And then we also, you know, and then we'll have like, first and last mode. So that can come into be beneficial. Maybe you're trying to range a deer and it's standing in front of a lot of stuff. You want to make sure that you're ranging the deer, not the stuff behind it. So you might want to set that in first mode. It's going to give you that first readout. Conversely, you might have a deer that's behind some stuff that you want to range. You know, maybe there's some grass obscuring it or something like that, or partially obscuring it. Then you put it in last mode and it's going to kind of weed out, I guess, no pun intended, some of that stuff, some of that interference that's in front of the deer, and give you the readout of the deer. So you can customize it to the situation that you're in. It's got a red OLED illuminated reticle. You can customize the brightness, you know, early in the day. And that's one thing I would, you know, you do have to think about is as the day progresses, you're going to want to adjust that reticle brightness, because you're not going to need a ton of brightness early in the morning. But all of a sudden you end up midday, it's high sun, you know, things like that. You're going to want to crank it up.
Yeah. One thing that I noticed with the Vortex rangefinders, I don't even know, you mentioned it there, but the ability for it to range a solid object in grass. And what did you call that? Like,
so that
the object in front of it is kind of moving. And a lot of times rangefinders would get, like, you'd have a hard time ranging, let's say, a deer that's in waist-high grass.
Yeah. So you may want to, depending, you know, you may want to put it in that last mode to you know, get rid of some of that interference that's in the foreground of the object.
Yeah. Dude, that worked spectacular out there this year. And because some of the grass that we were ranging mule deer in were waist high, and you could see them, but there was that stuff in the way. All right. One of the last questions I have about this is, obviously, there is a difference between regular binoculars and now with this electronic component in the rangefinding binoculars. Is there any maintenance or care that needs to go into these rangefinding binoculars that maybe most people don't think of with other pairs of binoculars?
You know, I guess outside of being mindful to make sure that, you know, every year or so. I mean, I've definitely been lazy with it.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Handful of rangefinders over the years that are running on the same battery for multiple years. I try to do it. I try to just replace it once a year, just almost for peace of mind more than anything else. But no, I mean, they're all waterproof, fogproof, shockproof. You know, they're doing all the things. They just have that additional electronic ranging component added to them. And like I said, depending on what you're doing, it really can be the perfect fit and the tool for the job 100%.
Yeah. And I take it the Vortex VIP warranty still applies?
It does, yeah. Lifetime, unconditional, no fault, transferable, no paperwork to fill out. If you have, if you experience an issue, no matter what, we will take care of you.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Mr. Mark Boardman, great conversation today. I really suggest, I mean, we're partners on the Nine Finger Chronicles side, and so I always tell people this, but if you want great customer service and you want badass products, go visit vortexoptics.com. Mark, any final thoughts on anything that we need to say today other than me coming up there and getting a steak with you?
I mean, that's the most important thing. Hands down. And I'm glad we started there and I'm glad we're going to finish there. No, man. I mean, outside of that, I mean, we're in the thick of it. Fall is here. And if you need a rangefinder binocular, definitely consider Vortex Optics, or if you need an optic, consider Vortex Optics. We've got a deep lineup of optics in every category, rifle scopes, spotting scopes, binoculars, related accessories. And boy, if you've got an optic related need, we probably have one that'll suit it.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. Take care.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
Eczema is unpredictable, but you can flare less with Ebglyss, a once-monthly treatment for moderate to severe eczema. After an initial 4-month or longer dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.